right, we are here. And we're not just here to just go through rituals and motions. I hope you know that. And when we make our proclamation, we are really saying something. See, we're here to proclaim the good news. And it is good news. That's really the good news, that Jesus is King. I mean, aren't you glad that the one that's King actually can relate to you and didn't grow with a silver spoon in his mouth? Didn't grow up in private schools being tutored, but he actually knows public education because he learned the Torah in the synagogue just like everybody else. And he is also the King who preexisted
as God the Son, was sent by God the Father to form human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
I mean, and that's all that, and it's just a little bit about our King. So when you think about all he's able to do, and if you were in Sunday school, you know what he's already done. Do you have to worry about anybody?
No.
See, we're not just surrounded by things that can take advantage of us and trick us into messing up our lives. We also surrounded by each other. We to bear one another's burdens. We to help each other live. So our surrounding is not just spiritual. This is how I fight my battle. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded.
everybody in here to sing like you. We in a new year. We in a new time. We seem to be praising the Lord just for being here.
I know I went in the back. I'm like, are the mics on? Why are we so quiet? Y'all tired? Come on, let's see if we can do better during responsive reading, and then we'll get into the next.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we'll be reading Psalm 145 from the New International Version. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts.
Thanks be to the Lord, splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time.
You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for a new year.
Yes.
We thank you as we come together to lift your name, to dig into your word, Father God. May it lay on the heart of all of us. May you take your word out into the world. And may you bless the preacher with the word from you today for all of us, Father God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What's the best word you can describe God by? Come on, just your own word. All right. All that? How about Father? What a way to start the year, right? Far It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. See, when you say good, good, let's not think of it good like yesterday I had a payday. So the peanuts, the nougat, it was good, but it wasn't good for me. Because it's got a lot of sugar in it. No. But it was good. But it wasn't good for me completely. But our God is not only good, but he's good for us and to us. Because we sure don't deserve it. He's a good, good Father. Amen?
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Okay, well, I got a big mouth anyway, so y'all will hear me.
True.
Okay.
You know what?
You know what?
Didn't look like that.
All right. So, just by way of a couple of announcements. So, if you didn't notice yesterday, we will no longer have Saturday church school, okay? We've had graduation. Commencement has happened, okay? Janice is tired. She teaches like 57 classes. And then she also has to do this and preaching and all of that stuff. So if you want to get in on whatever we had going on Saturday, you just don't have to show up to Sunday school. All right. So 9 a.m. here on Sundays. And then on Saturday, we just have our worship service that starts at 10 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. All right. So adjust your... whatever you got to do. If you call at 9 o'clock, between 9 and 10, you're going to hear the operator lady say, it's not 10 o'clock. Show starts at whatever. All right? So if you want to get in, again, on whatever we had going on, and if you're not, really, honestly, if you're not here listening on Blog Talk is one thing, but if you are not physically in Sunday school, you all are really, really, really missing out. Okay? Because we talk about stuff, and then we talk about it after, and then y'all be like, what? And it's like, because you missed Bible class. So get here. If you can, at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. All right, so Tuesdays, 4 o'clock, Richard Overall, Blog Talk Radio, training day. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, we have our Bible class. But it's now going to be, it's on Zoom, okay? But if you want to call in, you can still call in and listen. But there's a link for Zoom on the church website. Did I get that right, Pastor?
Yes, and the call-in number is on the church website as well. All you have to do is, when you're prompted, put in the meeting ID and the passcode, and you're in. Most people who tuned in last Wednesday did so by calling. And I think it's Oliver and Deacon Reed and myself was on video. So we made it that way, so you can still continue just like this Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and then the show.
At 8:30, the show gets loaded up to Blog Talk, and you can listen in or you can listen live.
There we go. Thank you. All right, so you do need a book. So if you don't have one, just go to our church website, rfcm.org. The questions are at the end of each chapter. Deaconess Loretta Welch is teaching this week, and her lesson is entitled Chosen in Christ. Amen. So every Friday, 7 o'clock, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Everything that we do is recorded, archived, and free. Just go to our church website. If you want to pay tithes and offerings, just go to our church website. We're going to have a prayer list. No altar call today, but there is going to be a prayer list up there because today is Communion Sunday. So we just want to make sure that we're praying for one another as we've entered into a new year with new trials, new challenges, new opportunities, new goals, and some new destinies. All right? So just make sure you're consulting the Lord for direction and guidance. Amen? Amen. Let's see. We want to continue to pray for all those who are bereaved. Of course, Deacon Charles Tate and his family, Melanie, Deaconess Lisa and Chardonnay and her husband and family. And again, all of these are, you know, Run for Christ Ministry family members, so we just need to keep making sure that we're lifting everyone up in prayer. So happy birthday this month to Mother Irma Miller, who celebrated on January 4th. Amen. I don't know if she wanted me to say this, but Mrs. Overall, she celebrated her birthday on the 4th. She talking, so she was celebrating her birthday on the 4th, just in case she's not listening.
Yeah, she's talking. I was trying to get them to stop, but you know.
No, I'm glad that we missed that completely. Perfect. All right. Now I ain't got to say it no more. And then Doris is going to be celebrating her birthday on the 30th. Sarah did mention no children's church until the 21st, but Mimi is here. She said no, so for that whole row back there, y'all can get right on down in the basement when service starts. All right, so your devotional for today is entitled, How to Get the Help You Need for Today. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. That's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 through 3. So when you became a Christian, did you expect life to suddenly be easy? If you did, I bet you found out pretty quickly that Christians face all kinds of trials, including relational, financial, physical, and mental. Some people expect life to be heaven on earth, but this is not heaven. We pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, because then it will be done perfectly. But on earth, God's will is seldom done. Everything on this planet is broken. The weather, the economy, our bodies, and our relationships don't always work right. We can be sure that because of sin, bad things will happen. We can also be assured of God's promises to support us in all the trouble we face on this earth. Because again, when you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. When you go through deep waters and rivers of difficulty, God doesn't promise that you won't get wet. Sometimes life just hurts, but God does promise that you're not going to drown. When you go through the fire, it's gonna get hot, but God promises that you're not gonna burn up. You are going to make it through. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. And that's the Amplified version of that. That doesn't mean that you can do anything because of who you are. It means you can have confidence in whatever trouble life brings because you face it with the power of Christ in you. You may not feel very strong right now, but strength will come when you need it. The Bible doesn't say to ask God for your weekly or monthly bread. It says to pray something like this. God, give me my daily bread. I need just enough strength for today. God will support you in your trouble. He always gives you the strength you need for the day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister.
Real quick, then.
morning. So I don't have all the information, but I want you to know. So I heard something today on the news, and Krista. So I heard something this morning news, so I didn't get a chance to send it so we can post it on the website. So it's a new year, so everybody should be going through and purging, getting rid of items. So there's a program that they're working with a furniture store, and they're going to, the furniture store will come and pick the items up, so there's no excuses, you could call and schedule. So they're looking for gently used items, things that don't have stains, no mattresses, like they said, pots, pans, comforter sets, appliances, whatever, just, so you can get it, you can drop it off. But I didn't get all the information because I was like moving through the house and I heard it all, but I just want you to know. So I want y'all to go home and start going through, purging. I'm going to post information, send it over to Pastor to post, and then you can schedule a pickup, clear out the clutter. That's one thing. Then also, don't forget, kids, programs, colleges and everything, they're all back, you know, all back up. So like most programs, there's still a lot of programs that depend on what you want to do. You can get rid of your kids for the summer. You can send them off for the summer. Start usually 10th grade, depending on what they want to do. And then don't forget, you know, one of my favorites, DAP SET, and Math Corps, Horizon Level Bound, partners with Cranbrook. And that is a summer program where your kids are living on Cranbrook's campus Monday through Friday during the summer, and you got to pick them up on Friday, and then you just have them for the weekend, you ship them back to Cranbrook throughout the summer. So that's Horizon Up with my, I know, I loved it. So it's stuff out there. So if you don't know, everybody know Rebecca and Kathy and me. So if you need to know something or ask about something, just ask us. And then the jobs that we post, and remember, everybody doesn't have a clean record. People have always made mistakes, and we're not here to judge, but there are opportunities for you out there. A lot of those jobs I get, they are from Jonathan, so they come from the parole department. So you are, and these are good jobs. These are really, really good jobs. So always, if you don't need it, pass it along to somebody. Tell somebody, look at our website and pass it along. But I just wanted there just to give you that little information. Thank you.
Just a little backup on the prayer list is up here. As you see with Melanie, she lost both of her fathers in the last week, her biological and her daddy. So pray for her as they funeralize her biological this week, and then next week she has to go back to Alabama. So that's why you don't see her, but she says she can't wait to get back here. So God is good. Anyway, standing to your feet. It is time for offering. And also during this time, make sure it's first Sunday that you got a communion cup. So if you need either an envelope or a cup, make sure you see our deacons and they will take care of you during this next song.
Oh, Let us prepare for communion. How appropriate to sing that song. Because we're covered by his blood. Blood that was shed free to us, but cost him everything. Trying to get in this duck proof. Yeah. 1 second. Won't he do it? All right, pay attention. Now we get to celebrate what Jesus did for us. Like I said, it cost us nothing, but cost him everything, such as beatings, slaps, spit on, snatched part of his beard out. Now, some of y'all can't relate, but if somebody snatches your hair out, it's disrespectful and it hurts to be spat on for something you did not do. He went through all that for us. And then to hang on the cross, humiliated, naked. Mind you, with his back split open all the way to the flesh part. For you, for all of your sins, past, present, and future, his body was broken for us. Take and eat. And then as he hung on the cross, gasping for air, because you died from asphyxiation. Basically, you suffocate because every time he takes a breath, he has to labor to do so. And has to lift up on the cross with a broken body while his blood was spilling out for us for our sins. Take it personal.
You may be seated. Not you, while deacons are collecting, as you see, as last week we talked about how long our prayer list was, and it was so appropriate. The Holy Spirit always has a way of confirming what you're supposed to do. Like Crystal was sharing with me something, and then she was like, pray for me, and I was like, you're on the prayer list already. And then Alice and I decided to sing today this song. And then Crystal gets up and talks all about how difficult life is. And a lot of times we just kind of going through on our own strength, and we don't have to. So sometimes when the difficulties come, instead of looking around to find out why, look up. Maybe your daddy. I faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never had before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes
from earth to heaven. So turn or click in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, and Revelation chapter 22, verses 20 and 21. It reads as follows. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life." And then Revelation 22, verse 20 and 21 goes like this. "He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people. Amen."
Amen.
So may we all get a new revelation and a new understanding of the Most High God from this word that we are about to receive from our very own shepherd, Gerald Marshall Overall. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen. Amen. Oh, look at she's so ready. She stood up. She's like, hey. Amen. Yeah, I got it on.
Amen. Whoa, it's working. Praise the Lord. Holler louder. Amen. Okay. I'm going to blame Malachi for that. He looked like he did it. Amen. There we go. We under control now.
All right.
Praise the Lord. God bless. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. And yes, we do praise your holy name. We thank you for bringing us through 365 days into this brand new year. We are 7 days in, Lord. That's your number of completion. And for the first time in this year, in this building, we will worship. We know, Lord, that we worship you on a daily basis. We wake up and do it every single day before we start our day. And then we acknowledge all our ways to you. And you give us directions from your word how we're to conduct ourselves in any given day. So we thank you, Father, for bringing us over the hills and down through the low, lonely valleys. And no matter what we thought was going to take us out, didn't work, we're here.
Yes.
And we know we are not here by mistake. We are here on your purpose because you said that you love those, all of those who are called according to your purpose, and that love you. Amen. You're going to make all things work together for their good. So we are assured that in this year, we will go to higher heights. We will lead more people to Christ this year than we did last year. We will teach more people how to live for Christ this year than we did last year. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we will use more of the 90% that's left to us after we give you the 10% to help those who are in or outside the body of Christ more than we did last year.
All right.
Thank you, Father, for giving us another opportunity.
Yes.
To please you. And we thank you, Father, as my pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr. like to say,
that we're not glad that you are a God of a second chance, but a God of another chance, because we need more than two chances, Jesus. We kind of mess up more than once. So we thank you for being the God who gives us another chance every time we fall down. Right. We get back up. Bless this word, Lord, that you give me to preach every year at this time. Bless this people so they receive it. Yes. And not just receive it, but live it out in their daily life throughout this year. In Jesus' name we give thanks and we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's all due to you. Amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, church.
Church.
Bless my life. Okay, let's start it over. Let me go back over here. Repeat after me. Say, church. Hey, Alitris. Amen. Lord,
bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
Lord,
bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
I acknowledge to you
my ways and thoughts.
Not like yours. But I'm here today to transform the way I think to the way you think. I seek to no longer be conformed
to this world,
but change the way I think so I can always know the good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Ain't that wonderful? God has a perfect, pleasing will for your life, my life, our lives. Amen. We should try to find out what God's will is for our life. The only way to find that out, though, is you got to open up your Bible and look in there and find out what is God's will for life. I don't know if y'all have recognized, but our world tore up. Amen. It's all broken. Everywhere you look, something's broken. Something's tore up. Something's out of place. The church now is on New Year's swag bagging in the church. And then they were doing some funny kind of thing with their leg. They said they were walking. They're walking it out. I'm like, Jesus, you always tell me I can't play that kind of music in church. Amen. They doing it. But then my mother popped up. Loretta, you know what she say? If they all walk off the cliff, you gonna walk off too? Oh, didn't she say that, Cheryl? Did she say that person? Amen. If your friends go ahead crazy, you go ahead crazy too? See, I'm going to beat you. I ain't going to beat your friends. So you need to not listen to them. Amen. Amen. We're losing it, y'all. We're leaving the pages of the Bible and we're just coming up with our own stuff. Anything goes in the church now. We was just having fun. Amen. Who was that little soldier? I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Got people in there walking it out. I'm like, Jesus, for real. Or whoever, little cool Mike or somebody, amen. And then swag bagging. Really? I'm like, Jesus, what is swag bagging? Oh, swag, money in the bag, is that it?
I don't know.
The whole church was just rocking side to side, and then I got on YouTube to try to look at some drag racing. All I see is T.D. Jakes and Bishop William Murphy. I'm like, they done took over the internet. Amen. And so I went, you know, Ed, I don't like people telling me stuff. I'd go see for myself, so I went and looked at the original. I'm like, dude, you should have been like, okay, Satan, I like that, but I ain't playing it in here. This the church. This ain't the club. That's why they got the club, Nedra. So we don't have to do in the church what they do in the club. That's the whole reason, God, amen. Church is church. We got plenty of church music that you can bang, amen. And do it. Kurt had a stomping years ago. So we got music if we just want to have some fun. Amen. I got a ton of music that y'all probably never hear on Blog Talk Radio. It's all made by Christians, but they took Jesus' name out. One girl, she even cussed in her song. She said, heck if I know which way to go. I'm like, wait a minute, Jesus, she didn't say heck. What up, Doe? Somebody know who Doe is, though, right? What up, though? Yeah. And then I heard T.I. with my boy Charlie Wilson. And everything was going good until T.I. part came in. And he came in. I thought he said am, but he said something else. I'm like, this is not a song ruined. I can't play it on the radio. We're out of control, y'all. You know, when Dr. Tony Evans talks about this subject, and I believe those of you who have listened to him know what he said. Remember he said he had noticed one day there was a crack in the wall? Okay, and then he called somebody over to look at the crack in the wall, and they came over there, mother, and they fixed it real quick. 2 weeks later, the crack popped back up. And so he called them back. Jen, they came over, fixed it up real quick. They're like, cool. But then the crack came back. Amen. He's starting to think something wrong here. I need a better a expert. And so he brought in an expert, and the expert said, it's not the crack in the wall that's the problem, it's the
foundation.
Your foundation is shifting. And because the foundation is shifting, it's producing cracks in the wall. And you can't just cover them up, because that's all you're doing when you don't fix the foundation. All you're doing is filling in the cracks. See, their foundation broke back there. Amen. See, that's what happened when the foundation broke. They cool back there? Well, all right then. Foundation cool out here. Amen. And so our world is in that same condition. We're moving away from God. And guess what? It's not even wrong to be gay no more. We got whole gay churches. It ain't even wrong no more. You can be, pretty soon it won't be wrong pimping. Pimpers be like, why is it wrong to pimp? Why we can't church pimping church? We're starting to say, whatever we want to do, it's okay. I'm tired of fighting the good fight. I'm giving up. It's okay. Even though the Bible have not changed, when you look at Leviticus 22 and 18, it still say God think it's detestable. When you look at Leviticus 20 and 13, it still say God think the punishment is death. When you go to Romans chapter 1, when he is addressing the Gentiles and all these kinds of behaviors, he say men and women have left each other and joined up with each other. Bible haven't changed. Okay. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the practice is still outlawed by God. It says that those who practice these lifestyles won't what? Inherit the kingdom of God. It does not mean they ain't saved. What it means is that relationship with God, those things that you get when you walk in concert with him, you ain't getting that. Y'all having a estranged relationship. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 7, it mentions again, but every time it doesn't say that God hates the person, it says he hates the practice. Hate the practice of lying. He's got six things he hates. Notice the six things God hates. Homosexuality wasn't one of them. It was all the stuff heterosexuals do. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
So he doesn't hate anybody. Because Genesis, John 3:16, a slap me in the face and say what? God what? And that ain't changed. But Jesus died for what? Our sins. 1 John 1:8 say, hey, when we say that we have not sinned, we are a liar. And what? The truth is not in us. Or worse, we made God out to be a what? How many know God ain't never lied?
Never.
Amen. So the further we get away from the foundation, the weaker it becomes, the more cracks appear. And that's why it seems like not just the world. Look, Christians, we need to understand this. God is not after the world to punish them, to tear them up. He's so loving, he want them saved. Amen.
Amen.
Judgment starts where? At the house of God. Maybe the world is the way it is, all cracked up, because we all cracked up. Maybe we're living in front of them a cracked up Christianity. We tell them this, we tell them that, then they see us doing this and doing that. Paul says in one of his books, they're shaming the Lord because of you. You're putting words in their mouth. See, that's why I don't go to church. Amen. Because that's why I don't go. Ain't nothing in the church but what? A bunch of hypocrites. I wonder why they say that. 1 Thessalonians tells us that if we want to stop them from saying that, it says that what? Seek to lead what kind of life? Quiet life. Do what with your own business? And do what with your own hand? And then you get what? The respect of those who are on the outside. And you want to be dependent on who?
Nobody
but God. Is your life working like that? Amen. If I come talk to your co-workers and your neighbors, I'll be a Christian. So maybe I should have moved this way. Amen. Amen. If the Lord said, I want to find out how Ed is walking in my word, he ain't going to go talk to Ed. He going to go talk to the people he walk around. Ask them. Amen. If the Lord went to ask your neighbors and your co-workers, what kind of person are you? What kind of community? What kind of person are you in the community? What would they say? What would they tell the Lord? Well, when they're in church, they cool, but I mentioned that to a person one time, and you know what they said? You know what they said, Mother? They said, Mother Rankin, they say, do you go to church? They go to church? I'm like, wow, yeah, they go to church? I ain't gonna say mine. They go to a church. Amen. 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 Yeah. Everybody say, oh, look at me. Make your examples with Malachi. You don't mind. Amen. How many people are trashing the church because of us? Amen. So the foundation is broken. The foundation is cracked. And we keep spackling over it, trying to just fill in the cracks and not fix the foundation.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Our lives are the same way. Okay. They can be tore up, right? And we keep patching it up with, I need to take a vacation. We patch it up with, I need some more money. I patch it up, I need a car. Patch it up, I need a house. Next thing you know, we're sitting in somebody's back seat talking about, do something to make me feel better. Hey, man. Everybody who saw that movie, 1 John 1 9, we good. Amen. We good, right?
Okay.
But that stuck with me. Is that how we do the Lord? Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, do something to make me feel better. Jesus, like I woke you up, you better feel better. That ought to make you feel better. Your eyes open. Did that make you feel better? Stand up. Your body working. That make you feel better?
Yes.
I'm good. I did my part. The rest is on you.
Right. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
God is trying to get us. Well, God is going to get us from earth to heaven. Usually when I start this out, I start in Genesis. But the Lord said, no, go to the end. Go to the end. Because that's where we are. We're in Genesis, what? Revelation chapter 21 and 22. That's the end of everything.
Okay.
Amen? But that's the end. How do we get there? How do we get to the end? The right way. There's only one way. And we go back to the beginning to see how we ended up there. No, I'm not going to preach the whole Bible. I know somebody said, seriously? Your text is Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21? I'm out. I got to go to work Monday. Amen. Lisa was like, yeah, you get going. I'm finna. I take my Baptist finger. I know I'm using it. I got a Baptist dollar too. I'll be able to. Amen. Yeah, they used to say that though. Remember, Mother, remember Shirley at the church? They said, "If you ain't coming back this afternoon, leave an offering."
Right.
Who taking the offering? Well, you ain't coming back. I gave you the offering, didn't I? We don't need to say nothing. Amen. God creates Adam and Eve, right? After all of creation, if you read my book, Biblical Giving of All Things, you read about how the seven covenants, the seven dispensations of time, and the six covenants, right? You read about all of that. So we don't need to get into the cosmological argument in favor of God having created all of this. That is what the argument is called in Christian doctrine, the cosmological argument, and it's only speaks to God having created the heavens and the earth. So that's what happened in them 6 days. Also on the sixth day, God created man. The crowning achievement of his creation. I watched a movie yesterday on Netflix. Got to check it out. I think it was on Netflix. It might be on Prime. It's called Nefarious. Amen. Nefarious. It was so deep. There was a demon. This man was in jail for crimes, right? But he was possessed with a demon. And he was trying to get everybody to understand, one minute the demon is in charge. Next minute the man is crying, saying, he made me do all of this. Okay, we know that's not really how it works. Satan can't make you do nothing. Okay, but this man was an unsaved man. And then the man who came in, his psychiatrist, was an atheist. Oh, it was unbelievable. You got to watch it. Because, amen, it was so enlightening how Satan gets us. And it was the same thing that happened in the garden. He always begins his conversation with, have God not seen? He wants to come at you about what God sees. Amen. And that's what he did with Adam and Eve. God had created everything, and God told them what they could and couldn't do. It was one thing they couldn't do, and that was to access this tree apart from God. God didn't say you could never have it. God didn't say you can never have the knowledge of good and evil for yourself. But God simply said, don't eat from that tree. If you do, you're going to die. So that means to get this, you need some instruction. You need me to talk to you for a minute. Because when you get this, you might want to leave me. Amen? And what happened when they got it? What did they do? They left God. So they should have had instruction with that tree. But Satan came along and started a conversation that made him seem like God was unfair. And on top of that, Darius, he a liar. He's a liar. Did God say, Brother Askew, that you couldn't eat from this tree? Brother Askew's like, I wasn't eating that, Pastor. I don't remember. I wasn't there. I wasn't standing there in the garden. Amen. Did God say you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden? Notice how the devil did it. He didn't say that one. Any tree. And of course, the wife, No. He didn't say we couldn't eat from any of the trees, just this one. And if we touch it, did God tell Adam, if you touch the tree, you're going to die? What did he tell Adam? Something went wrong in the Bible classes. When Adam was teaching Eve about what God said about that tree, how did this touch it get added in there? Amen. What do we see wrong already? What's out of place already? Adam, there you go. Say that loud.
He talking to the woman.
Who should he have been talking to?
Adam.
Who was the head?
Man.
Where was Adam at? Sitting back here talking about, she ain't been here but a minute, but she already on my last nerve. You know, I tell you what. And then Adam was like, dude, your wife over there talking to the snake? Adam like, man, I just try to keep peace in my house. You don't know what it's like. See, y'all don't get married. Y'all just do things. Y'all ain't got no brains. See, you don't know what it's like. So I just keep my mouth shut. He became what Dr. Tony Evans calls the passive responder. Amen. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because you don't know what it's like when she get going. I'd be trying to pull my ears off. You don't know what it's like. Amen? So they just continue to kind of, and then it gets worse, Cheryl. You know, it gets worse. Even eight, nothing happened. She done bought all the way into the lie that you're not going to die and God is jealous and envious of you. He not only won't not want you to have life, he's so jealous, he also envious. He don't even want you to enjoy it. How you going to enjoy life, this whole planet and the universe, but you can't have that tree? That don't even make sense. We like to say, I would have told him, man, I got the whole universe. I don't need that tree. Plus, it'll kill me. No, it won't. Stop being silly. Have you ever seen anything die? That's all I'm saying. If you eat from that tree, though, God knows that you're going to be like him. You can turn good and evil for yourself. Are we doing that today? God said something evil, we say, no, it ain't. He didn't mean that. He was talking to them other people. He was talking to the animals, the animal kingdom. He wasn't talking to us. Amen. When God says something is evil, it's evil. Now, what does this tell us about Adam and Eve, Mary? I don't think they liked the Lord a whole lot because it wasn't real hard, Lisa, to flip them. Satan didn't have to have a real, go read the whole conversation, get you a stopwatch, and time the conversation. They didn't talk that long. Not long enough. Satan didn't say enough to convince them. He just called God a liar and accused God of having impure motives. And they was like, we thought so. I knew he was lying. Told him I'm going to die. And he ain't going to tell us the tree ain't good for nothing but death. Don't give me knowledge like God. And guess what? Satan lied about the not going to die part. But he was telling the truth about you'll become like God. You'll become self-determined. Amen? Amen. The only problem was he didn't tell them you'll be living apart from God. Because you're going to get this knowledge without, amen, God's permission. You're going to have to break the one law he gave you to get this. And you don't know what's hanging in the balance. All of humanity is looking on to see what you're going to do. All the angels in heaven that hadn't fallen, they were waiting to see what they were going to do. Because Adam and Eve have lost their angels. When they ate from that tree, them angels was out of there. They're like, oh no, we don't roll with Satan now. They got kicked out and we saw them kicked out. When they turned against God. Okay? And so Adam and Eve, when Eve started talking, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11? God's alignment? Adam should have been talking. Satan switched up the alignment. Why? Because he don't have the power to block him out. Adam's the head. He is the designated leader. He was right there. It'd be different if Adam was on some other part of the garden and not there. But he was there. When somebody come knocking at our door, Sheila don't tell me I'm going to go open the door. She say, you need somebody at the door. Amen. It's not like she can't answer it. Don't have the power to answer it. But she respects my headship. And if somebody going to get shot, she wanted to be me. Like, I ain't stupid. I'm sweet, but I ain't stupid. Let him go up there and get mugged. I ain't going. You go first. Amen. See, remember? Hey, you be asking the dough too. Now you know what's up, right? Oh, you're going to get to tell the head. I don't even know who that is. Well, I got to go. Just be quiet. Amen. Let him leave. Amen. Amen. So once he reversed that alignment, their guardian angels go. Why? Because they're not going to, they see disobedience getting ready to happen. And they out. They work for the Lord with those who work for the Lord. But when we start our stuff, they go. They will not, you know how you got that friend who actually stand up for Jesus when we want to do dirt? They say, I ain't doing that, I'm out. And they literally leave no matter what you call them. Amen. That's how the guardian angel is. When you're going down the freeway and you're running late and you get up to 71 and the speed limit is 70, guess who ain't with you? Amen. That's why I go to cruise control. I need my angels with me. Amen. Because I need help. I need all the help because, see, Satan hate me. Amen. He hate all of us. But he especially hate me. Okay? Because what we do here is what Jesus said in Ephesians chapter 4. We make disciples. He don't want disciples. He wants church folk. Church folk don't scare Satan. Why? Because they like Adam and Eve. They'll believe anything he tell them. Church folk can vote for Trump. Church folk will. They will actually go out and campaign for it. Even though he's against the Lord. For the sake of their political ideology, they still follow him. And not God. Amen? Amen. So when Satan flipped that alignment, the guardian angels took off because they ain't getting into sin with you. That's out. They saw what happens when you go that far against God. You have to find a new place to live in the dark. Because when God came into the darkness, there was what? Darkness upon the deep, right?
Yes.
That's where they were. The Lord does not live in the dark. As far as people understanding him, yes, they're in the dark, right? He's in a place where you have to try to understand him through the light of his word. But he don't live in the dark. That's where he kicked Satan them into the middle of nowhere. And that's where they were. And God went right into the middle of nowhere in darkness and did, what was the first thing God did? Let there be. You know them demons was like, oh, he here, y'all. He here. Amen. They knew immediately that God was there. And now they're sitting back watching what is God doing. And at the end of creation, they see the man, they see the woman, they know the rule. We want to rule. Remember what he said in Isaiah, I think it's 26 or 87, one of them chapters in Isaiah where Satan said, I'll be like the Most High. And a whole bunch of I wills. Amen. He sees his opportunity, cat, to seize the rule. What did Satan get kicked out of heaven for? He wanted to what? And so now he sees an opportunity, but he has to get them to what? Give up? Who gave Adam and Eve the right to rule? God. They have to give it up. He can't go down there and bust them in the head and say, give me the rule, because he don't even have no hands. He had to use a snake to talk to him. He's a spirit. Hebrews 1 and 14, now angels are ministering spirits to those who are being saved. Now, if God wants that spirit to inhabit a body, he'll do that, like when they came to visit with Abraham. But other than that, they're a spirit. They don't have no body. To operate in this world, they need a body. Amen. So Adam and Eve, amen, gave the rule to the devil when they went against God. Whenever we kick God to the side, I want you to know Satan is ruling. Yeah, he's ruling. It's real simple. You can go down the freeway 70 miles an hour, the Lord is ruling, right? Because you're not breaking the law. But the moment you start breaking the law, Satan ruling. Amen?
Okay.
Whenever we start leaving God's word to do what we want to do or say what we want to say or go where we want to go, guess what we're doing? When the prodigal son left his father's house, what did he leave? His father's rule over him. And where did he go? To a better place? He went into a far country, started turning up, got his little money machine, started shooting dollar bills all over everybody. Until one day, leeches, he pulled the trigger and nothing came out. And all his new friends, person, they was like ghosts, they was visible. They were like, oh, dude, your money go? Oh, I hear my mother calling me. I think of my wife calling me. Hey, man, they was gone. They was fair weather friends, they was gone. And the Bible says that no man gave him anything. See, as long as he was in his father's house, did he need any man to give him anything? Then he had to get a money machine to shoot it all over the place to get people to love him. No. But when you walk away from God like Adam and Eve did, Satan ruled. And when Satan ruled, he is not nice. Where did the boy end up? Getting ready to eat what? Can you imagine? You so low. Hey man, Deacon. You so low that you over here with these smelly pigs that gave you a headache already because of the way they smell. And now you're so low what they're eating looks good. And you're thinking about eating some. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Muslims, you walk by the Muslims, they'd be like, oh, you been eating pigs. Amen. Or around them. Amen. So when they left God, what did they lose? The rule. God said, let them rule over the fish, over the birds, over the livestock, and every little creeping thing on the ground, and the fish of the sea, let them rule over all of that. We have given them the authority under us to rule over what we've made. Okay. But when you walk away from God, now how much you rule? Who ruling you? And look, all things work together for the good of those who what? Love God. How do things work together for the good of those who follow Satan? They don't. Did it work out for the prodigal son? Did it work out for the straightaway sheep? Did it work out for the lost coin? The further you get away from God, the more cracks you're going to see. The further you get, the longer you ignore the crack, the foundation, the more cracks going to appear in your life, in your wall. Amen?
Amen?
So the Lord has to get us from earth to heaven. How does he do that? Because we're crapped out now. We're running behind trees trying to hide from an invisible God who's everywhere. And not only are we running behind trees, but we've taken a flower leaf and we put it right here, and now our shame is covered. They couldn't hide from God, his judgment, and neither could they do anything about their shame. But what did God do about their judgment? He took two animals, he slayed them, right? Amen. Blood was shed. He covered them with their coats of skin.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God did something about their righteousness. God did something about their nakedness and their shame. They couldn't do anything about it. Mother, they thought the best idea is for us to go hide behind this tree. And when the Lord show up, just lie. Yeah. Blame it on somebody. Jenny, it is not, I tell people all the fault is Jenny's fault. That, like this morning, it was Jonathan's fault that I forgot to do something. Okay, he wasn't nowhere around, it wasn't his responsibility, it was his fault. Adam said, the woman you gave me, this, Jesus, this is kind of your fault. Because I was over here with God, wasn't having no problems. We just started, me, we hanging out in the garden. Then you brought me this woman, and you married me to her, and now here we are. I did what you said I did. But I don't know if I'd have done it if it wasn't for this that you made. And the Lord like, no, he didn't. So he walk over here to Eve. And he say, Eve, what's up? What had happened was, this is what had happened. The serpent that you made,
he made me do it.
He made me do it. So I did it, but it's kind of like your fault. I did it. I ain't going to say I didn't, but it's kind of like your fault. Because if you hadn't made this serpent who was more wiser than any other beast of the field, like you said. See, I ain't wise than me tricking. See, I ain't even been to school yet, so I'm just saying. Functionally illiterate. I can't read or write. I don't even hear right, so. Amen. So now we're through, right? How does God get us from earth to heaven? Genesis 3:15. The Lord says that I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Why did he say you and the woman and not you and the man? But he said you and the woman. I'm going to put enmity between y'all. In other words, y'all going to be enemies from now on. What he meant was when Adam named Eve, he said she would become the mother of what? All living. So that Satan, if he's going to have enmity between Eve and the devil, that means her offspring. That means everybody born from Eve, the devil's going to be their enemy. As soon as the doctor clap them on the butt and they start crying, they got an enemy. And if God will let him, he will do like he did them kids in Bethlehem. He killed 25 to 30 kids trying to kill Jesus. He don't care about no kids. Satan's heart is so cold, he will murder a baby. Just like he did Adam and Eve. They weren't nothing but babies. Even though they were born grown, they weren't nothing but babies. Amen. Everything is new. So God says he's going to be your enemy. And then the Lord said, I will distinguish. There'll be a distinguishment between your kids and mine. And how quick do we see that happening with Cain and Abel? Abel is righteous Abel, as Hebrews 11 calls him, right? But Cain, don't be like Cain, for he was what? A murderer. Same thing the Lord said about Satan. Amen, he's a murderer. In John chapter 8, he's a murderer and abode not in the truth. He's a liar. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. Because he's what? The father of lies. Why is he the father of lies? Fathers give birth, right? Right? To children. They get women pregnant, they have kids, right? Satan is called the father of lies. So where did he become the father? In the garden. When he said, thou shalt not surely die. Notice the Lord said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. King James Version. But Satan says, thou shalt not surely die. Oh, Sharon ain't here. I can preach till next week. Oh, Jonathan on the... Oh, they got my boy on me. He kind of big, so I'm going to get through. Amen. He might come up here and be like, get through, Pastor. Next thing you know, I'm getting the bomb rush. Amen. Amen. Woo. Hey, man, I'd be bum rushed all the way to the back walking like that. Woo. Amen. So what did God do? Oh, there goes Janet. Let me hurry up. Amen. She got a briefcase in her hand. She's going to beat me with the briefcase. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God says that the Satan is going to be our enemy, and he is. But God says there'll be a difference between those who serve God and who don't. It says the same thing in Malachi. You'll see then a difference between those who serve God and those who don't. And so all throughout the Old Testament, Jesus is coming. We break into the New Testament when John the Baptist, amen, says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar came John the Baptist saying, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is here. God is speaking to him again after a 400 year of silence called the intertestamental period, right? Jesus comes. He's born. He walks the dusty hills of Palestine preaching the gospel. Kingdom of heaven is here. It ain't just near, it's here. Jesus dies and is raised again on the third day. Genesis 3:15 is proved out, is fulfilled. The one who would come and have his heel bruised by Jesus getting up on the cross. Oh, but on the third day, Jesus got up with some boots like these on. Yeah, big old clumsy boots. He's, amen. He's walking like that. Where's Satan hear that? Amen. You know when he talks about head, remember what I told y'all we lost in the garden? We gave up the rule. Well, guess what? When we get Jesus, guess what we get back? The rule, because we're no longer servants of sin, but servants of righteousness, servants of Jesus Christ. Yes. That's how you fix the foundation. That's how you get rid of the cracks. Get back with Jesus. Yes. And God has reconciled us back to himself through his son. Yes. That is how we get to Revelation 21 and 22. But until we get there, Jesus said this. Before he ascended into heaven, after you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to have power. The power to be my witnesses. Jerusalem, that's your near surroundings. Start in your house. Amen. Your street. Your community. Then he says, Judea. That is your city. That is your county. That is your state. That is your nation. And then go, please, to Samaria. We must needs go where? To Samaria. Through Samaria. Why? Because there's some people over there Jesus want to get. But see, we don't like to go to Samaria. And we don't like them people who live there. But Jesus said, forget all of that. It ain't about you. It's about you being my servant. Go there. I'm going with you. Paul went to a lot of places. He didn't want to go. And when he got to Corinth, he was going to leave. But the Lord said, stay here. Many people here in this city belong to me. And so he stayed. And when we get through with Samaria, then what do? To the uttermost parts of this earth. That's what we do until we get to Revelation 21 and 22. We have, if the rapture happened right now, we'd have 1,700 years to wait for Revelation 21 and 22 to happen. And right now, the rapture hasn't even happened. We're 2,023 years away from Jesus' ascension into heaven. All this time, we're supposed to be fixing the cracks, establishing the foundation. But what are we doing as a church? We're moving further away from Jesus. Ain't nothing wrong no more. You can say, do whatever you want. All you got to do is plead 1 John 1:9. But let me tell you something. Repentance, this is repentance. For those who don't understand, I'm going this way and sin. Jesus back there. I turn this way. You ain't repented if you're still going this way. You don't repent till you go this way. Amen? Okay? So don't think that you can just sin, 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 and somehow you're going to win, no matter what. It's time to pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for revealing these things to us. The whole world don't know anything about this. But Jesus, one day your disciples came to you. And they asked you, why do you talk to the people in parables and riddles and stuff like that? So I'm just making it plain. And you said to them something, Lord, that you know I cherish and have never, ever forgotten since I heard it. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to know the apocalypse. The apocalypse, the revealing, the unveiling of that which was previously hid, has been made known to you. But to them, it is not. Lord, we thank you. And we ask like the psalmist, who are we? That you are mindful of us. Having been created just a little bit lower than the angels, and yet through faith in your Son, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, all of that, Jesus, we have become the children of God. As it says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, come out from among them, and I will be your Father, and you will be my sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for your plan for life, taking us from this life into eternal life, giving us eternal life the moment we accept Christ. Thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to make 2024 a year of witnessing, a year of teaching, a year of giving, so we can glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Shoes and socks. They always on sale again.
All right, let's stand to our feet. like to make this correction. These are young people. We miss our junior praise team leaders. All right. Well, we already got our assignment for the year. The song just culminates it. Amen. People know who you belong to because of who you look like, right? Some of us look like our parents, siblings. We know who we are because of who we look like. But the one we want to look like is the only perfect human being. Only one to do it right. His name is Jesus. That's the name we declare.
If you love him, lift your hands in praise. If you love him, stand with us today. If you love him, lift your voice and shout the glory of his name. If you love him, open up your mouth. If you love him, let his praise ring out. Every nation, sing for joy and come together. Our God is strong and mighty. Tell the world there is no other. Jesus, we declare your name. We will declare your name. We will declare your name. And we will tell the world there is no other. We are not ashamed. We will declare your name. We will declare your name. And we will tell the world there is no other. Jesus, we declare your name. We will declare your name. We will declare. Tell the world there is no other. We are not ashamed. We will declare your name. We will declare your name. And we will tell the world there is no other. Jesus, we declare.
Let us receive our benediction. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power at work in us, let glory, his glory be in his church both now and forever. Let all God's people say.
Amen.
Yeah.